That was beautiful, beautiful. He started to choke up there a little bit. John chapter 6, and I want to be a blessing to you this evening. The message will be can be a quick message, and it's going to be a little bit different in my, not going to be real homiletically beautiful, but there is a principle here that God spoke to my heart about, and I want to communicate this here. John chapter 6, a familiar passage, we'll read, and I'll read, and I'll pray, and then we'll get right into the message here. Bible says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him. Let me say this, that hasn't changed today. Jesus today sees a great company out there, and he has compassion on them, and many of them are lost, and they're without a shepherd. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fish as many as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Father, I come this evening, Lord, asking for your help once again, Lord, and I need your help, Lord. I beg you, Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, help me to communicate the truth that you have tonight. Bless these folks. Thank you for all that they've done. Thank you for their world vision, Lord. But I pray that you would challenge us and encourage us to move forward for your cause and for your glory. I love you. Amen. I want to make a few statements here as we get started. Then I'm going to kind of take a little bit of a turn in the message here and then illustrate this true story that we just read. And this was just one of the miracles where Jesus fed a great multitude. There was actually one a little bit before this. And surprising to see some of the answers that the disciples had for him. We'll get into that here in a minute. I just want to make a few statements about the Christian walk and the Christian life. Not that I'm an expert, but I want to encourage you and challenge you in your faith promise too. Been able to be in several different missions conferences and hear a lot of different speakers and be in some great churches that have great missions programs like this one. I heard a wise man say that I've observed that there's 4 types of giving. I know you all do faith promise here, and I'll get to that. There are 4 types of giving. One of those types is giving emotionally. And I don't believe that's necessarily wrong. You can see a slide presentation by a missionary, and your heart can be touched and your heart can be stirred. And I see pictures of Haiti. My wife's parents are actually missionaries in Haiti themselves. They've been there a little over 2 years. Brother Sigwart will be going to work with them sometime. I'm not sure all the details there, but there's 4 types of giving. One of those is emotionally. And God can stir our hearts emotionally to want to do something. The Bible says, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Another type of giving that I've observed is giving by budget. And I don't believe that's necessarily wrong. I believe giving by budget is a noble way to give. give to missions and to give other ways, and certainly we ought to do it like that. Another way I've noticed of giving is sacrificial. Sacrificial giving. I don't believe there's anything wrong with that either. But the Bible does say to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And I believe we ought to give sacrificially many times. And many of you have given sacrificially to make this week possible. And you've given to the Lord sacrificially, and that's noble. And they did that through Scripture. Jesus gave His life sacrificially for us. I'm very thankful for that. The last way that I've noticed of giving, you may have another one, but the last way is number four, by faith. By faith. That's where what you're doing here, and I want to encourage and challenge you to move forward by faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 10, it says to be forward a year ago. And it talks about proving the sincerity of our love. And giving by faith is where we're not depending on what we've got in our pocket. We're not depending on what we've got emotionally. We're not depending on what we've got sacrificially. But we're depending on the one that supplies everything. And that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're partnering with Him. And He is giving through us. And we're trusting Him by faith. And none of these are bad ways. But I believe giving by faith is the very best way. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And we ought to strive to want to please the Lord in our Christian life. I got saved February 27, 1986. And I learned a lot of lessons. Sometimes I've learned those lessons the hard way. And Pastor was telling us some of the lessons. And Mrs. Rogers learned maybe the hard way. And I got a good kick out of some of those stories there. Let me make a few statements here, and then we'll get right into this. The Christian life is a process of growth as a steward. The Christian life is a process of growth as a steward. God wants to give us truth, and He wants to give us as much truth as we can handle. But sometimes the problem is we can't always handle the truth that He wants to give us. And a steward is this: a steward is a manager of God's resources, of God's talents, of God's time, and God's truth. So God has counted us as a steward with what He's given us. His talent, His time, His truth, and His resources. Everything that we have received is a gift and a blessing above hell from God. And He deserves all the praise and glory for everything that we receive. That the child that's sitting next to you this evening, I see a few, that child belongs to God. That's not your child. That car, that vehicle that He graced you with to bring over, bring you over to church this evening, that's not your vehicle. So I make the payment. Well, God gives you the energy to go to work, to make that payment, to own that vehicle there. And so you can take care of it for His honor and glory. That home that you have the privilege of going home to tonight is not your home. We are to be stewards of everything that God has entrusted us with. And God is constantly wanting to give us truth. And when we receive that truth that He gives us and we actually put it to use, that's when God will entrust us with more truth. You see, when we don't be a good steward of the truth that He's already given us, why would He give us more? My pastor made a statement that I won't forget. And he says, talks about the stories of one of the things he does to remind him of God's love for him is when he sees a penny, he picks that penny up and he says, that's a reminder that God loves me. A pastor's wife does that. Probably some ladies in here have something. My wife likes to say that when she sees the sky shining through, maybe a cloudy day, the sun shining through on a cloudy day and the rays of light go through there, that's a reminder of her, of God's love for her. But my pastor said this. He says, my dad taught me a valuable lesson on stewardship. He said that, he said, Jack, never be too proud to pick up a penny and pick that up. He said, why would God trust you with $1 million if He can't trust you with a measly little penny? And that's the principle there of being a steward of what God has given us. And I want to say this, I'm not painting God as a tyrant in heaven that wants to control you and like a robot and tell you what to do, but He certainly deserves all of that. God does not want everything from you, just that which you're not willing to give Him. And I would ask this evening, is there something, some area of life where, and this will apply to the message here, is there some area of life that you're holding, maybe you think you've got it figured out a little bit better than God? A lot of times it's finances. But is there some area that you're struggling? We say, well, I think I'm pretty set over here. I know how to raise my children. I know I've got my checkbook right here. And God doesn't daily look at the checkbook like I do. No, but God is omniscient. God's omnipotent. And God knows more than us. And God loves us. He wants to take care of us. And God wants us to freely give our hearts to Him. The Bible says to prove the sincerity of our loves. In 2 Corinthians 8, they gave of themselves first, before they gave to the missionary, and that's very important. God gives grace for salvation, and we don't have a hard time understanding that. Easy to get saved, easy to put our faith and trust in God. But God gives grace also for giving, and He gives grace for everything else in life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, it says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not give Him also, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" God wants to give us all things, the Bible says. And turn with me real quick to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I'm about to take a turn in the message that I told you about. Acts chapter 1. God gave us a command in the Bible. And we're going to look at that command this evening. And the brother last night talked about we're failing at getting the gospel to the world. There are literally half the population of the world has not heard the gospel. The people groups that don't have a word of God to be able to be blessed. And they don't have the opportunities to sing a song about the blessings of God and break down in tears and cry and give God the glory for that. They haven't heard the gospel. They haven't experienced the grace of God. And God gives us a command here to reach four parts of the world. And I want to explain this here and we'll get right into this story. The Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Those of you that have been saved, the Bible says you've received power. You've received the power of Almighty God. The Bible calls it the earnest of the Spirit. You've received it if you're saved. Rather, you've received Him. Holy Spirit of God dwells within us. He indwells us. Right now, if you're saved, you've got God in you. What, know ye not that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? You're a temple of God. He says, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And Holy Ghost comes upon you when you get saved. And then it says, "Ye shall be witnesses." There's not an option. "Ye shall be witnesses unto me both." God, it's funny here, He says, both usually connotates two places. But then He goes on and He lists four places. "Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." We have a hard time getting the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth, and I believe we have a hard time getting the gospel all over. For the fact of the matter, the whole world still needs the gospel. We've had revival, but we need the gospel back in the Northeast, and we need to get the gospel into a lost and dying world. I look at this verse here, and I thought to myself about giving to missions and faith promise. And I looked at the verse there, and it says, "You should be witnesses in both in Jerusalem." Jerusalem is Adrian, Michigan. And it's the bordering county right here. That's Jerusalem. In Judea, that is your maybe surrounding states or neighboring countries, Canada, Mexico perhaps. And then it says, "You shall be witnesses unto me in Samaria," some of the other countries nearby perhaps, Europe and Asia. And then the uttermost part of the earth. The uttermost part of the earth is those that, man, you probably don't even know how to pronounce. And those that they're exactly, directly, you take the globe and spin it directly on the opposite of the globe from you. It says we need to be witnesses in all those. You know, I don't know how we can be witnesses in all of those. Certainly you're witnesses here in Adrian. But I don't see how to get around. I don't see how we can be witnesses into all of these other countries without giving the faith promise. There's no way to do it. So I believe it's very scriptural, and we need to do it. But the fact of the matter is we're failing at the job, and I believe we're failing. And here's the message tonight. I want to share with you tonight what is the missing element or the missing person in the Great Commission. The missing element or the missing person of the Great Commission. I want you to notice with me the three problems this evening. And I want to give you the solution to it at the end of this. I'm going to need some help this evening. Jordan, could you come on up here and help me? And then, is that your brother? Man, come on up. What's your name? Kenny? All right. You guys just, you can have a seat for now. Jordan, you sit there. Kenny, and I need another one. I need a young, come on up, man. Can you bring a couple songbooks up? Can you guys gather a couple songbooks real quick? Look with me back at our text here in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And we'll read a little bit here, verse number 1. This is the story, one of the miracles that Jesus performed. And that'll be good. Just you take a seat. You guys can all three sit there. Man, you're privileged, huh? Just don't fool around and goof off, okay? I don't want to have to regret doing that. This is the story here of Jesus, and he had performed a miracle, and he had performed several miracles, and now the Bible says in verse number 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, and because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And the Bible says, and Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. Verse number 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? All right, I want to stop there. And the story talks, and Jesus had gone out, and Jesus' desire was to, he went up into the mountain there, and the Bible says he looked out, and Jesus saw a great multitude, a great company of people, and they were starving. And I like to parallel this and say that they were without the gospel. Like today, there is a multitude and billions of souls and that are without the bread of life, and that are without the living waters that God wants to give them. And Jesus sees that, and he has compassion on them, and he wants to do something. He wants to feed them. And then Jesus, his heart was broken, and he wanted to feed him. And then he looks over at Philip. Come on up, Jordan, you're Philip. And he looks over at his disciple Philip, and after Jesus looked at the multitude, and he says, Philip, God is asking the human this. He says, Philip, where are we going to buy the bread so that all these people can eat? Answer. And that's not a very good answer. And we're not going to get very far with that kind of an answer. But the Bible goes a little bit further. In verse number 6 it says, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. God knew exactly what he was going to do. But Jesus, he wanted to feed the multitude. Problem number 1 is this. There are billions. 6.8 is the last number I heard. 6.8 billion souls. Half of those, the brother said, has never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus wants to get the gospel to them. He wants to feed them. And he asked the human, he says, how are we going to feed all of these people? And I want to ask you this evening, how are we going to feed 6.8 billion or 3.4 billion souls the gospel, folks? As a human, I don't know. As the human, Philip didn't know. And this evening, tonight, we're having missions conference, and I want to say this, it ought to be our desire to want to move forward and get the gospel out to those that have never heard it. And problem number 1, let's say problem number 2, we want to get the gospel everywhere. And we want to move the missions forward here at Berean. What are we going to do? I want to say, and I already have, that Jesus knows exactly what he's going to do. And Jesus knows exactly how it's going to get done. And sometimes we go through life and we think that we're the only ones that have ever faced the problems that we go through. Remember, my mom had breast cancer 10 years ago, and we prayed before she went in there. Might not have been God's will to heal her, but He did. But I was just, man, my mom, I believe sometimes she can be a very worryful person. I can too, for that matter. I'll confess and admit my sin. But many times we think, you know, we're the only ones that have gone through this problem. We're the only ones that have ever experienced this marriage problem. And we're the only ones that have experienced this financial disaster. And we're the only ones that have ever been through a recession. Oh, what are we going to do? Jesus isn't worried, folks. God's not some old crippled geezer up in heaven with a gray beard and a cane. Oh, my poor humans down there. Oh, what am I going to do about them? They've got themselves into a pickle. No, God is omniscient, all-powerful, and He's awesome, and He loves us, and He cares for us. He cares for those lost souls even more than we do, and He wants to see them saved. And I want to say this evening that the reason that we're not reaching the world is because we're not getting Him involved in it. The church has a great multitude, and strategically we need to rethink things, yes, but we need to invite God into the situation. God is in control, and we need to realize that. Problem number one, they wanted to feed the multitude. Now look with me at verse number seven, if you will. We'll continue the story. And you're Philip, right? Okay, and Philip says, I don't know what we're going to do, Jesus. And then Jesus, what did he do? Let's see. And it says he knew what he was going to do. That's what he did. In verse number 7, then Philip answered him. Then Philip, you came up with the bright idea. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient, that every one of them may take a little. And that's the truth. 200 pennyworth of bread isn't going to feed the world. And all the missionaries that you support isn't going to get the world saved. But you're not helping in the situation. And Philip didn't contribute to the situation right there when he made that statement. Then I want you to introduce somebody else. Verse number 8. Then one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Now step off to the side here, Philip, and I want to introduce Andrew. Come on up, buddy. What's your name again?
Kenny,
I'm sorry. I'll remember that this time. Now we have Andrew comes on the scene. Actually, he was already on the scene. But then Jesus asked Philip, what are we going to do? And Philip says, I don't know. You're God, aren't you? He says, we don't have enough fish and bread to feed all these people. And then Andrew piped up and he makes a statement out of the middle of nowhere. Now the disciple says, Jesus, there's a lad. Come over here, lad. What's your name?
Hunter.
That's a cool name. Come on over here, lad. I want everybody to see you. Maybe you shouldn't be the lad. But that's all right. You'll work, all right? And the Bible says, Andrew, he pipes up and he makes a statement and he says, hey, Jesus, hey, God, there's a lad over here and he has 5 barley loaves. And he has 2, here's your barley loaves in one hand, and that's 5, okay? Can't count very good. Now here's your fish, hold your fish too. And Andrew pipes up and he says, hey Jesus, there's a little boy over here, there's a lad over here with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And I looked at that and I thought, man, why would you say that, Andrew? Why in the world did Andrew even get in the conversation in the first place? He had absolutely nothing to contribute also. I mean, saying, hey, Jesus, there's a boy over here with 5 fish to feed all these people. That didn't help anything. But you know, I like to think this. I like to think just maybe Andrew had a grain of a mustard seed of faith. Maybe there was somebody in the crowd that had faith, and maybe there was somebody in the crowd that had seen Jesus perform the miracles before and said, God, if you can do it back then you can do it right now, and I'm trusting you again. And so he spits out the only thing he knew, said, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, have at it, God, basically. But I want to say this. Then he pipes up. He says, the lad right here. And let's look at this lad. The lad, the lad. All right. How are you as a soul winner?
Good.
Good. Okay. You think in the amount of time that we need to get out of here, you'd be able to lead this amount of people to the Lord? Within an hour? Okay. Now let me ask you, how are your, you don't have enough fish and to feed people. You don't have enough bread to feed people. How are your fishing skills? You think you could fish enough to feed everybody, this multitude here?
No.
All right. How are your bread baking skills? Can you cook some bread? Mrs. Bailey can cook some bread. Maybe she might be able to feed everybody here, but... I want to make this statement. As we look at the lad and we ponder the situation and that we want to reach the multitude, I want to say this. The lad was insufficient. No matter what we do, no matter how hard we try, no matter how good of a soul winner this guy is, no matter how good his bread baking skills are and how good he can cook a cupcake, it's not going to feed the multitude. The lad is insufficient. And I want to say this, as a missionary, I'm insufficient. We're here and we want to be your missionaries, but we're very insufficient missionaries. And you have some great missionaries that you support, and but I would say this also, that they are insufficient to accomplish the task at hand. And if you supported a million missionaries, they'd be insufficient. And Andrew looked down and he said, this kid, he's got some fish here, but what are they among so many? You look at the missionaries that you support and that you want to support, and you say, what can they do as a church? And you say they're insufficient, and I'm insufficient, and you look at the marriage problem that you're going through and say, I'm insufficient, God, and yes, you are. I'm insufficient in our marriage, that's for sure. And I'll be insufficient in child rearing, that's for sure. And every problem that I'm ever going to face in life, I am insufficient under my own flesh and under my own power, but God's not. And I need to get God involved in the situation. And I believe that Andrew had a little bit of a faith there. And he said, God, there's a lad here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I don't know how you're going to do it, but if anybody can do it, you're going to do it. Problem number one, we established that the church has a great multitude. You support, you want to send out more missionaries, you want to feed the multitude. Problem number two, the lad is insufficient. He's also insignificant. Problem number three. Problem number three, the lunch is insufficient. The lunch is insufficient. We look at the lad and he's a weakling too, isn't he? Even though you have a cool name, doesn't mean you're tough. I think you're tough, all right? But you're going to mess up the message here if you get me sidetracked. The lad is insufficient. But not only that, the lunch is insufficient. The 5 loaves and 2 fishes was not going to feed the multitude. And let me say this, the money that you have in your wallet and your checking account is not going to reach the world with the gospel. You can rework it, be the best person and be the best steward you could possibly be, but it's insufficient and it's always lacking. And the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes was lacking. And what are they among so many? I believe Andrew had a little hint of faith. And we look at our resources and our resources are insufficient. And then we get discouraged and we say, oh, forget it. What are we going to accomplish? We look at what we've got. I'm nobody. Missionaries are nobody. Our wallets are nothing. I got $5. How much money you got in your pocket, Hunter?
None.
We're definitely in bad trouble then, right? Insufficient. Insufficient. Insignificant is the situation. But I would say don't throw in the towel yet. Don't throw in the towel yet because God is still in control. And the Bible says that... You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And the Bible says if you've been saved, you've got the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I want to say this, you're always indwelt with the Spirit of God, but we're not always filled with the Spirit of God. And God says to be filled with the Spirit of God. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. And the problem that we face oftentimes in our missions and everything that we do for that matter is we try to do it in our own flesh and we try to do it in our own power and we leave God out of the equation. And the message is simple tonight, folks. Tonight, if we're going to move forward for the cause of Christ in the area of missions, if we're going to make an impact or and a dent, if we're going to see souls saved and lives changed, if we're going to solve the problems that we have in our own lives, we need to ask God to get involved in the scenario, the Holy Spirit of God. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. God's given us the power. We simply need to ask Him to get involved. We need not be too proud and say, God, I can't do it. God, I want to see all of the souls saved in Hawaii. Not only that, I want to see them all saved in the Pacific Islands. I want my dad saved, and I wanted my grandma saved, and I want my uncle Pele saved, and I want my uncle Fatu saved, and I want my grandma, I wanted my auntie saved, and I want my cousin Malone saved, and I can't do it in my own flesh and my own power. God, please get involved. I need you. God, we need to move forward, and God, we want to ask you tonight, would you get involved in all of our efforts, in our missions efforts? Lord, as a lad, we are insufficient, and our lunch is very insignificant, God, but will you get involved? We ask you and we beg you, God, this evening, would you get involved? Jesus got involved in this situation, and when you allow Jesus to get on the scenario, He always makes up for the insufficiencies. I'm always inadequate, but God is more than adequate. Look with me at verse 10 and we'll close. Verse 10 of chapter 6. You guys can you two have a seat, Kenny and Jordan. Verse 10, the Bible says, after we established, we got the three problems here in verse number 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. And when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And so Jesus took the bread and He broke it and then He gave it to the disciples. Let's just stay there. He gave it to the disciples, Jesus did, and the disciples went and they passed it all around to everybody, the Bible says. I don't know how that happened, but Jesus got involved and it did happen. Amen. And then in verse number 12, the Bible says, man, this is a great story. And when they were filled, He said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled them 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Man, the story is awesome. Jesus broke the bread. He got involved in the scenario and then He gave it to everybody. And the Bible says everybody got filled from 5 loaves and 2 fishes and a little weakling lad. He was weak. I didn't say you were, okay? And then it says that there remained over and above 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Man, there was leftovers. Jesus got involved. They asked Him to get involved. And then He got involved in the scenario and then filled everybody and there was leftovers. I want you to notice, the lad was insufficient, the lunch was insignificant and insufficient, but God used him in a great and mighty way. You know, He didn't do much. All He did was just make Himself available that day. I don't know that this happened, but I can imagine the young lad going out. Mom said that morning, he said, son, we need some bread and we need some fish. I don't know if he went to the store, let's say that, well, he's hunter, so let's say that he went and he went fishing and caught the fish. He got 2 fish, all right? But did you bake the bread or not? No, you went and you bought the bread, okay? All right. So he went out, bought the bread, and he caught the 2 fish, and he was on his way home, and he saw the multitude sitting around there. And little boy, little lad went over there, just curious to see what's going on. Kind of nudged between everybody like a boy can do. Kind of got in with the crowd there and looked over, and then somebody volunteered him. And the boy is probably thinking, man, they asked for his 5 loaves and his 2 fish. And I can imagine the boy thinking, man, well, I need this for my family. And my mom sent me to go get this for our family. But the boy, I don't know if he willingly gave it. Somehow the disciples got it. But the story says in verse 13, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. I have a hard time to thinking that when the boy gave up his 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and they had fragments that remained, the Bible says, I have a hard time to think that Jesus sent the lad home empty-handed. But you know, I think that, it doesn't say this happened, but I kind of think that maybe the boy that volunteered that morning, that afternoon, went home. Stay there, Hunter. Now you're going to prove if you're tough or not, okay? I think that, it doesn't say this happened, but I had a suspicion that when Jesus got involved in the situation, everything, he makes things better. And I got a suspicion that maybe the boy, he went home with more than gone home. I just kind of think that maybe he went home with a little more than he came with. And folks, we need to get God involved. The Lord was insufficient. I'm sorry. The Lord was sufficient. I'll make one statement here. When our faith grows, the capacity of our basket also grows. I believe the boy went home with leftovers. The invitation is simple tonight. Would you get God involved? Would you literally, physically, whatever it takes, your missions giving, your child rearing, your family, ask God to get involved. What is it that you're trying to accomplish in your own power? Because we're always insufficient and we're always going to be insignificant. But with God, all things are possible. And He wants to be involved. Would you ask Him to get involved? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. God spoke to your heart in one of these areas. Maybe it wasn't even about missions, but spoke to your heart, and you've been leaving God out of whatever the scenario is in your life. You'd say, Brother Sam, I've been convicted, and we're going to win this world with the gospel of Christ. If we're going to win the world to Christ, we've got to get Christ involved. We need to ask Him to get involved. God spoke to your heart, whatever it may be. Why don't you come do business at the altar?